CanoWeb Update News. I'm Lorelai Kaneem, and it's 9:02. Leaders in the 2014 Iron Dog are currently taking their final 10-hour layover in the race on the Yukon River. Team 16, Todd Minnick and Nick Olstad, arrived in Ruby at 2:43 this morning. Team 23, Brian Dick and Eric Quam, followed suit and are also taking their 10-hour layover in Ruby, arriving at 4:14. Team 10, Mike Morgan and Chris Olds, are taking their 10-hour layover in Galena. They declared at 1:52 this morning, with Team 17, Dusty Van Meter and Mark McKenna, arriving for their 10 at 2:27 this morning. Shortly before noontime today, Team 10 will depart Galena, and the race will be on to Tanana, where teams will be held to ensure an afternoon finish in Fairbanks on Saturday. An Oregon mining entrepreneur says he has the answer to kickstarting Arctic development and building a deep draft seaport on the Seward Peninsula. Dennis Humbird, founder and president of a company called Sea Pirate Mining, has submitted what he contends is a serious proposal to oversee construction of a major shipping hub at Port Clarence. The proposal was sent to Governor Sean Parnell, Lieutenant Governor Mead Treadwell, and the Alaska Congressional Delegation. Humbird says federal and state officials are moving too slowly on the port plan, potentially targeting 2030. He adds that Alaska and America cannot wait that long. According to the proposal, port construction would require movement of more than 7.1 billion cubic yards of seafloor material to create an 18 nautical mile, 65-foot deep channel. The project would result in a full-service port with lodging and emergency response facilities, and it would require more than 800 skilled laborers working 24/7 for 5 years, minus annual three-week Christmas breaks, according to the company. Humbird says he projected the cost at $3.6 billion, but Sea Pirate Mining needs no federal or state funding. The industrial companies that would benefit from a deepwater Arctic port would foot the bill. The company confesses to having a vested interest in the plan. They outline payments to Sea Pirate Mining Services as being all the gold from the seafloor material that would have to be dredged. In order to defray the cost of coordinating efforts, they're asking for mineral rights. Lieutenant Governor Mead Treadwell says he's seen Sea Pirate Mining's press release but is doubtful about the specifics of the plan, particularly getting title to the mineral rights around Port Clarence, an area with a lot of recent interest. According to Treadwell, the Coast Guard, State, and Bering Strait Native Corporation have got dibs on the land there. Sharon Lehow, Governor Sean Parnell's press secretary, said the governor's office received an emailed copy of Sea Pirate Mining's proposal last week, but have not yet reviewed it. The U.S. Geological Survey says melting Beaufort sea ice is creating new habitat for geese on the North Slope that could have implications for conservation inside the National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska. For animals that live on Arctic ice, like polar bears and walruses, rising sea temperatures usually mean a disappearing home. But John Pierce, a biologist for the U.S. Geological Survey in Anchorage, says that's not always the case.
We really don't know how all the different species of wildlife are going to respond to changes in the Arctic as a result of warming climates and diminishing sea ice, but folks often say there's likely going to be winners and losers.
The winners in this round, black brant geese. They spend their winters on the Pacific coast and in the Aleutian Islands, and summer in the high Arctic. On the North Slope, the brant frequents inland waters like Tushukbuk Lake, which feeds a wetland system in the National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska. A year ago, the Bureau of Land Management put together its first ever unified plan for managing both wildlife and resources in the Petroleum Reserve. They drew a line around the Tushukbuk area and closed most of it to oil and gas development. Some of it is still technically open, but the BLM would not lease it without extra consideration for the waterfowl and caribou that live there. In the meantime, the U.S. Geological Survey is watching to see how animals are using the wetlands, and John Pierce, their biologist, says he's noticed changes. Black brant are now flocking to a part of the Tushukbuk area where there didn't used to be food for them. That's changing as sea ice melts off and saltwater creeps further inland.
And that's causing more coastal flooding of these low-lying habitats and killing off the plants that are more used to freshwater and creating environments where saltwater-loving plants can grow.
Those environments are new coastal salt marshes full of plants that the geese like to eat. The plants are growing faster than the black brant can crop them, meaning other species of goose and Arctic shorebird are also moving into the new marshes. These areas used to be home to caribou. Pierce says there's more than enough fresh water and grazing habitat for them further inland on the Tishookbook parcel. It's not clear what'll happen next. Pierce says he and other biologists have a lot of questions going forward.
If the storm surges continue to come inland, are these areas just going to be permanently flooded? Or as the permafrost continues to thaw underneath these habitats, are they going to sort of sink out of reach of the brant? And is there sort of a march of this habitat inland, or do we reach a point at which it can't extend any further inland?
All those dynamics, short and long term, are important to the Bureau of Land Management. They need data about where wildlife are and where they're going to make decisions about where it's safe to drill and build. The Nome Port Commission passed a motion last night to increase rates at the Port of Nome. In a 4-2 vote, the commission elected to increase storage rates to 7 cents per square foot, causeway rates to 10 cents per square foot, and all other rates by 3%. Cargo and fuel rates would remain unchanged. Commissioner Roland Trowbridge said the increases balance costs for all users.
It's more equitable for the small users. 10% increase on the fuel rates over the board are going to hurt them much more than us increasing the storage rates. And I know they will not like the increase in storage rates, but it's a lot better than increasing their fuel costs. Nobody likes increases anywhere. So balance the costs for everybody and make it so that our harbor is self-supporting.
Last year, port rates increased 10% across the board. Joy Baker, Harbor Project Manager, said rate increases for the upcoming season are necessary. Operation costs like labor and fuel are on the rise. And on top of those day-to-day expenses, the port has expansion and repair costs to pay for that grant funding does not cover.
I'm not going to say that we'd have to close our doors. I can say that we are constantly being challenged to keep up with the demand of not only the maintenance, but the construction and expansion. I don't think it would be a very cost-effective business decision to have no increase this year.
The rate increases will be reviewed by the City Council on Monday. The proposal followed the reading of an email from a Nome Port user asking the commission to not raise rates for small portions of the population without increasing services. Later, Baker presented design changes to the Middle Dock project. The alterations reduced the project's cost from $9.4 to $8.6 million. The new design hosts 3 docking cells rather than 4. In this configuration, 3 150 to 300-foot vessels could dock at a time. Overall, Baker said the Middle Dock should increase Nome's port capacity by 50%. Bethel has 2 mushers racing in this weekend's Junior Iditarod. Veteran Joshua and rookie Joan Klaka will race 150 miles to Yentness Station and back. The start will be at Martin Boozer's Happy Trails Kennel outside of Big Lake instead of the planned start at Kinnick Lake. With the poor snow and ice conditions, a decision to reroute the race was made about a week ago. 4 veterans and 6 rookies will be at the starting line. The Klakas are not the only sibling pair in the race. Also running are Kevin and Ben Harper from Wasilla. And representing Nome is Janelle Trowbridge. The 16-year-old junior has been mushing since 2011. She's the daughter of Roland Trowbridge, who received the Red Lantern in this year's Kuskokwim 300. This will be her first Junior Iditarod. Trowbridge is bringing 12 dogs and will select 10 when she sets out on the course. The race starts Saturday morning at 10 a.m. The price of gold in New York, $1,324 even. An ounce of silver at $21.86, down 6 cents from yesterday. It's currently 11 and a half minutes after 8 o'clock.